Welcome to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker. A gathering place for Christian women to proclaim the love of Christ by sharing compelling life stories to encourage, inspire, and equip women on their personal journeys of faith. For the next 30 minutes, please join us on this journey. Here's your host, Cynthia McCutcheon.
Hello, everyone. I want to welcome you today to My Journey of Faith. I'm Cynthia McCutcheon. Have you ever wondered how God takes us full circle in things, how He brings things around just to His glory? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, that full circle where we might not see it when it starts out, or we may not even have a clue about it, but that'll bring us, God can bring it around and bring it to a full circle of forgiveness, of hope, just to make Him famous. My guest today is Becky Wallace. She's married to her husband for 17 years. They have two biological children, Noah and Max, and they have permanent custody of her great nephew, who is 3 years old, who's been in their home since he was a little under a year old. Becky is a registered nurse. She homeschools her 11-year-old in the morning and teaches health and PE at her kids' Christian school. And her personal ministry focuses, has recently shifted from youth to women. She has a huge heart for children in foster care and for broken women. And your story will hear that in just a moment. Hi, Becky. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Just fine. I'm so glad to have you on today. Your story is, I think, will reach many women because of it may not be the shame that they've gone through, but they can find a place where they can reach in and grab and say, okay, me too. So let's hear your story. Let's start a little bit about your background and this journey that God has been taking you on.
Okay, Cynthia. I was born the middle child and only girl in a family of five in Arkansas. I have two brothers. One is exactly 7 years older and one is exactly 7 years younger. My older brother is actually my half-brother. My mother had been married to one man before she was married to my father and gave birth to my older brother. Her husband was killed in the Vietnam War when he was four. But my younger brother and I were born to the same parents, and my parents had been married for, I think, 42 years. So I have a lot of fond memories growing up as a little girl, going to church, and life was great. It felt like we had two separate families, really, though. My older brother was, there was such an age gap. He was often out of the home when I was so young, that my younger brother, he came along when I was just about the right age. I loved baby dolls, and I got to carry that baby around on my hip and climb him as my own.
I love it.
It was a good time. What I call my happy, ordinary, normal life came to a halt when I was somewhere around 8 years old. Around that age, my life became very dark. I was molested by someone who was very close to me, a person that I really trusted, and I think this went on for maybe 2 years. I don't remember exactly. My parents were working a lot, and I didn't want to make life harder on them, and they were under a lot of stress, so I never told them what happened. There was something I wanted to protect for some reason, my parents. From that, and at an early age, I learned to be a worrier, and I learned to be a fix-it person, a protector, and I felt like I felt responsible for protecting my younger brother. And during that time, though, I grew up believing there was a God. Angry because in my underdeveloped brain, I believe that God, if He was real, He would have rescued me from that. I remember good times too. I remember sneaking around through my mom's drawers as a little girl, admiring her jewelry and books. And I remember coming across some Bible study notes. I believe it was on the book of John. I don't remember what they said, but I do remember when I saw these writings, I felt a peace come over me. I was aware that God was important to my mom. When I was around 10 or 11, things just continued to get worse. I remember mom and dad would have people over, play loud music. They were drinking and laughing. And I would slip out of my room to peek out and see what was going on. And my mom always told me to go back to bed. And I started to notice that comparing my life to my friend's life, that my home life looked a little bit different than theirs. And I wanted what they had. When I was about 12, my older brother was involved in the wrong crowd. He started playing, the loud rock music and dressing in full black leather and playing the guitar. He was really good at that. His desire was to be in a rock band. That he also started using drugs and alcohol. And I watched a lot of fighting go on between me and my parents night after night. And I became afraid to do anything wrong. I wanted to make sure that I did everything right to earn my parents' favor. As the years passed, my parents sank deeper and deeper into bondage from alcohol. With that came many fights, a lot of fear and insecurity. Saturday nights at our house was pure chaos. And then we would wake up on Sunday morning expected to just not remember anything that happened the night before and get dressed in our Sunday best and go to church with a smile on our face. So I couldn't care less about being at church. I was even angrier at God because I believed at that time not only did he protect me, but he abandoned me is what I felt. And I craved the attention of my mom and dad with all that was in me. When I didn't see that happen after I prayed to God, I didn't trust him, and he didn't answer, so I became rebellious, like a lot of people do. I drank alcohol, I smoked, snuck out of my house, and ran with numerous boys. Satan was pursuing me, and he was winning. I used to dream of the days when life was pure, before all these things had happened, and I was searching to fill that void with all the wrong things. This reckless behavior continued into my late teens. And after high school, I had no desire to go to college. I think that's part of the rebellion. I didn't want to please my parents. So I found an office job. It happened to be where my father worked. My very first day for my interview, I'm told that my husband saw me walk into the doors and off at the time, and he put his arm around my dad and said, "Hey, Dad." I thought that was funny. One day when I came into the office, I saw him for the first time, and I was immediately attracted to him, and I thought, I wonder if he's available. After I questioned some of the guys that he worked with, I asked one of the guys if he would put in a good word for me. Well, it must have worked because he asked me to lunch one day, and we started dating soon after. He was so much different than any guy I had ever dated, and it was so refreshing. I saw something in him that was different. Little did I know at the time that something was Jesus. It wasn't long before he asked me to go to church with him, and honestly, I wasn't there for the right reasons. But I heard words that I had never heard before. I remember feeling like this is what church is supposed to be like. There really is something more. Little did I know at the time that the Holy Spirit was beginning to draw near to me. When I was 20 years old, my husband proposed to me only after 6 months of dating, and I accepted with great enthusiasm. And I think we were at Riverfront Park on a deck that was pretty high off the ground. There was a lot of sand underneath us. And when he asked me, I kind of jumped on him like a frog, and he dropped the ring.
Oh, no.
So we had to get a metal detector and all the work. We found it. I felt like I would begin to have a new life. That being married, and I was in nursing school at the time, I felt like things were beginning to look up, and I was putting my worth in things of the world. And I was finally getting the security that I had been searching for. The next year, I had been over at my fiance's house and was driving home. The Christian music station was on my radio, and I pulled into my driveway, and I just emotionally broke down. God was tearing down my walls. I said a prayer of repentance and was emotionally moved. I'd learned about a place called Hill and his church, and I knew that I was supposed to confess and repent and accept Jesus as my Savior, and I was determined I was not going to go to hell. So I didn't play around. I surrendered a little. That same year, at the end of nursing school, I went to LPN school, and then I went to RN school. At this time, I was just finishing up my LPN program, and I found out that I was pregnant. I was terrified. At times, I think my parents' love seemed conditional, and so I was afraid that if they found out, they would disown me. And so we didn't tell anyone. But on Mother's Day that year, I woke up with pain and bleeding, and I had a miscarriage. And I was heartbroken and afraid. I still lived in my parents' house, and I had to call my fiance at the time to come get me to take me to the hospital. And I had no choice but to tell my mom. I'm going to go to the hospital. She's going to want to know why. To my surprise, she just embraced me and loved on me. And again, I began to question God. When I was 23, Brad and I got married. He was 26. And, this was going to be my brand new life that I had been looking so forward to. I was going to make it be a great one. Good intentions don't always guarantee success, though. I was not only looking for my husband to make this great life happen for me and for us, and follow the ideas in my head of what a healthy, normal life looked like, but I was also looking to my husband to be my savior. I was blind. After we married, we started going to a missionary Baptist church here in Benton, where our brother-in-law was associate pastor. It's my husband's sister's husband. And the truth that was poured into me and the word pierced my heart. No longer did I think, why did I have to live through all this? Why me? I started to think, who do I think that I am that I should not have to suffer? I remember reading a book by Charles Stanley called The Gift of Forgiveness. And I remember sitting in my pleather recliner. We were poor. Pretty much a plastic recliner. But in that chair, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I surrendered everything. I know I had been gaining head knowledge of the Word, but my heart was pierced with His presence. Everything I had, I owed to Him. So this is the true day that my life began. Everything up until that point was erased as far as the east is from the west, and the burden of my unforgiveness grew. And my true understanding of what Christ had done for me by forgiving me grew, and I was under such conviction to forgive the one person who hurt me the most, and that was the person who molested me. So I got his address, and I mailed a letter explaining this revelation and that I was offering my forgiveness, expecting nothing in return. A lot of us have been hurt, and I'm not the only one. Satan wants us to believe that we are, but...
Exactly.
I just thought, yes. I just thought, if Jesus Christ could forgive me of all that I had done and all but sat in his space, then surely I could forgive this person. So I prayed for him, and I mailed the letter, and then freedom came. Mm. I was delivered from that anger and revenge that I wanted to hold on to for so many years. I wanted to be justified. I wanted to be redeemed, and I was by the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness is a powerful gift, and it's also a command. A few weeks later, I got a phone call from the person that molested me, and he was full of shame and guilt. He apologized deeply and confessed that he didn't know what he was thinking. And I remember praying God forgive him for he had thought what he did. And it's only because of God that I was able to do that. There is nothing in me, in my sin nature, that wants to do that at all. I want revenge. But God brought me to a place of forgiveness and freedom. In the moment that I accepted the gift of salvation and complete surrender, I experienced all the love and security that I had always wanted and always dreamed of. And he has showed me his grace and his mercy and has allowed me to show the same. We have been going to Highland Heights in Benton for about 10 years now. And we ended up leaving that previous church after we got married and going to Highland. And we fell in love with the relativity of Pastor Brian, the authentic worship. But I was still holding on to deep-seated feelings of rejection that really paralyzed me from forming real relationships with women. Mm. I had Jesus, I had my family, so I was good, you know. Last year, in August 2014, I had begun a new nursing career. I worked with adults and children for 15 years as a nurse, and I'd always wanted to work with babies, so I thought, I'm 40, I'm going for it. It's either now or never. So I took a leap of faith and began a job at Arkansas Children's Hospital in the NICU. My second week in orientation, we were learning a new computer system. I had my phone turned off from about 9 until noon, and then at noon we took a lunch break. And I got to turn my phone back on. And there were multiple missed calls from my husband and text saying, call me now. I had a lot of messages from my friends whose husbands were fired.
Sorry about that. We had just a slight error. So go ahead, Becky. You had told us that you had missed several calls, messages from your husband.
Yes, I had several messages from friends whose husbands were firemen. And that day, my kids were at home alone. At the time, they were 10 and 14. My husband and I were both at work. And I immediately thought, obviously, there's been a fire.
Of course.
And my kids are home. So my heart sank. All I could say was, Jesus, please let them be okay. I started shaking uncontrollably and just repeating over and over until my husband picked up the phone. Jesus, please. That's all I could say. So my husband answered and said there had been a small fire and that the kids were unharmed. Praise God. I left the hospital, drove well over the speed limit to get to my babies. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got there, the devastation hit me. There was no small fire there. It was complete loss.
Oh, wow.
I instantly grabbed my children and sobbed, and I just praised him for keeping them safe. Our church showered us with support and money, and a lot of our community did, actually. And I was so humbled and blessed. The reality of everything set in, and I sort of fell into a six-month deep depression. I was in a dark pit. Mm. The enemy tried with everything he could to keep me down, but God had other plans. In that time of desperation, I begged God just to send me someone And he did. He sent a lady from our church that pursued me every single day for a year and still does, with prayer and scripture. And she never gave up, even though I had. Because of her faithfulness and God's provision, I'm out of that pit. And God used what Satan meant to destroy to make me stronger. Mm. Our God is faithful and limitless. He gave me my heart's diamond to lift me up. And in that relationship, he has given me a desire to surround myself with godly women. And I recognize now that we need each other. God has shown me that he is able and sufficient. And looking back, I have seen the beginning of God breaking me to myself, breaking me of myself to the present day where he has come full circle to forgiveness and restoration. He's been my strength at my weakest moments and has prepared me for such a time as this. Right now, my parents and I have a great relationship. During that 6-month period, God used my mom to be my strength, and God also put people in my life for a time where my younger brother had been involved with drugs and lost everything, and allowed me to plant seeds in my parents' lives and in my brother's lives to get him to a place and place called Victory Temple Ministries Men's Home. It's a Christian 6-month program for rehab, and I'm watching God grow my parents.
Wow.
We have a beautiful relationship now. In fact, we're going to visit him this weekend. He's been there for 30 days. But today my struggle still would be worry. That I know and I feel that he is moving me from being a worrier to a warrior.
Oh, wow.
And it's all because of him.
That's amazing.
Okay. That's my story.
That's your story. Well, I love that story because God has done so much and, like you said, brought you full circle.
Absolutely.
Just the way that God pursues us and doesn't give up on us when we think we would give up on ourselves, but he's there. God has placed in you a burden for broken women. And
yes.
I think, you know, so many times God takes our story, takes the things of us, and that's the way he uses us. And through our own brokenness, we can minister to others that are broken. And I love how you said that you were kind of fighting that rejection and that had that need of forming real women relationships. And then God puts it through a struggle, puts a relationship within you with another woman to show you what it's like.
Yes.
Love that. So when you are able to minister to women, what is God, is he putting things in your place and how is he letting you minister to these women?
He does all the time. Specifically, you know, we live in a fallen world and we have a lot of marriages that are struggling.
Hmm.
And I'm able to use what I've learned from making my husband my savior before I was saved to minister to other women that your husband cannot be your savior. Jesus Christ is the only one that can be your savior. And he's putting women in my path who have been broken in similar ways that I have. And he's given me a passion and mercy for those people.
Mm.
It's amazing. For example, I was spending a week at the lake and my husband and I, my whole family, we were down there. And I came home to grab some clothes about an hour away, and it just happened as I was about to leave my house that someone called needing me right now. Their marriage was in crisis, and she didn't know what to do. And so I know that was God's perfect timing to allow me to just encourage her and build her up and pray for her. And they're still together today, and that was probably 3 or 4 months ago.
Wow. You know, I love how God works, and it's His timing for everything.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it is. It is. Now, I love how you said that your friend came alongside you and sought after you, pursued you, gave you scriptures and things like that. So how do you encourage women to form those relationships with women? Because I think that's one of the hardest things a lot of women have is they don't connect. They're busy with their family. They're busy with their jobs. And a lot of women miss that relationship with other women. So how could you encourage them to maybe make that step?
You have to be intentional. You have to look at the faces of the women around you. You can see those women that are hurting. It's a gift of discernment, but I look for women. I seek out women like that. And then, for example, there was one lady that I know, she has an amazing testimony, but she would never share it. She does not have the esteem or the confidence to share it, and she's not in a place where she's able to use her spiritual gifts the way God intended. And so, didn't know her very well, but I just asked her to meet me for dinner one night out of the blue. Like, we don't ever talk, but I said, hey, why don't you meet me for dinner tonight? And so I kind of connected through our son's talk or whatever, and she really opened up to me that way. And so I try to connect with other women that are involved in women's ministry and say, hey, we've got this one over here. That would be a great testimony for these other women, and just try to get them plugged in and involved as much as we can as women as a whole, as the body.
I agree. You know, so many times our testimony doesn't have to be from a stage to be shared. It can be shared one-on-one.
Yes.
Now, you also said that you have a huge heart for children in foster care. Where does that stem from?
Well, one of God's little miracles, my great nephew, probably, I'm not a good historian, let's say about 4 or 5 years ago, my husband and I were in church one day, and the call came and talked about all the foster children that needed homes in our county. And our hearts were drawn immediately. I don't know that my husband's was, but I kind of prayed for my husband's heart to be drawn. And he caught up. Anyway, we had gone through the program, the call of Arkansas, and there were just roadblocks. What typically takes about 5 or 6 months for someone to be cleared from the beginning of the program to having an open home for foster children took us over a year. And in the process, the lady that works for the state that was handling our paperwork lost our paperwork.
Oh, my.
So from beginning to end, probably a year and a half, you know, they said we needed to redo our paperwork and then we would need a home study, and they didn't have anyone available to do home studies. So we ended up just taking a break. But during that time, my husband's heart was for how can I help these foster children if I can't have one in my home right now? And so he began the call closet in an empty old house that's next to his business. We just started taking donations of clothes so that you know, when foster kids come to foster parents, they come with a plastic bag, maybe with clothes for the wrong season or that don't fit, just random things. And they need, parents need a start, maybe a week's worth of clothing, so they don't have to rush around and stress out about going to Walmart and buying them an outfit. They can just call and we'll get them in and let them grab some stuff and be on their way so they can try to get settled with their child. And so that's one ministry that that we do. But my great-nephew came out of, I mean, it was definitely God. He came out of nowhere. I have a niece that struggled with drug addiction and lived in a different city. And my brother, my older brother, called me from a different state, concerned about her, and I went to check on her. I said, is there any way that I can help you? Will you just come with me and stay with me and let us help you? And she refused at the time, but she ended up calling me 2 weeks later, and she came with her baby, who was 4 months old at the time. And she lived with us. She ended up going back to drugs. So she signed him over to us. And I believe with all my heart that that is, God knew that was going to happen when we were applying for the foster care, that he already had a child for us. So we've had him since he was about 4 months old. He's 3, he'll be 4 in May, and he was a preemie. With a club foot and a whole bag of issues, but he's a healthy baby now. He's a big boy, growing. Club foot is fixed, and most importantly, we want him to know Jesus Christ.
That's an amazing story. It's amazing. So, Becky, let me ask you one quick question, because we are out of time. The call house, is that what you called it?
It's the call closet.
Call closet. Is that people donate things to it?
Yes. People can bring by their good used kids' clothing, and there are people there that work, that hang them up and organize them. And Ray Lana's, after their sale, when it's complete, they donate everything that's left over to the call closet. So it is there and available for any foster parent to call and, you know, grab a week's worth of clothes.
So if there's someone in your area, because you're in the Benton, Arkansas area, if they wanted to give something to that, how did they find it? Is there a website or a phone number?
There is not a website. My husband's business is Eagle Electric, and I can give you the number there. They can call there to get the information. Unfortunately, we don't have a website.
Okay. Well, it's Eagle Electric in Benton?
Yes.
Okay. Well, people can just Google that and find the phone number that way. That's wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Becky, I want to thank you so much for being on this show today. Your story is incredible, and I think there's so many things that people can relate to. I can relate to it, and I can see how God does bring things full circle, and forgiveness is one of those that is the perfect way for Him to bring full circle. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
And for those of you listening, I want to thank you for joining us today on My Journey of Faith. Please find us on Facebook at My Journey of Faith Radio or on our website, myjourneyoffaith.com. And remember, your story matters, whether it's on stage, whether it's over the phone, whether it's in person, one-on-one. Your story is important to share God and make Him famous with those in your sphere of influence. So until next week, have a blessed week. Bye-bye.